Good morning. Good morning. Let's join in the hymn of preparation. This morning. First off, we're going to let Jessica Morris, who is our youth director, give us an announcement, please.
Good morning. I just wanted to point to your attention. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see the insert that says Super Bowl of Caring. That's S-O-U-P-E-R. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, and the youth have traditionally, at the end of the service, collected an offering or a love offering for Meals on Wheels. And if you have been looking in your newsletter this week, you will notice that we're also collecting canned food. So if you brought your canned foods, we'll also collect that at the end of the service. And we'll be at the exit in the narthex and also the side exit with big soup pots to collect money for Meals on Wheels and then canned foods that will go to our food pantry here. And if you will take a minute during the service sometime to read about the Super Bowl collection, it's really meaningful, and I hope that you'll feel moved to give an offering this morning. So that won't be the offering that we take up, but we will be standing at the exits to collect money and the cans. So thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. We have several things that are upcoming, but first of all is the annual Shell Doula Class Super Bowl Party. It is an event to be attended. It is going to be this evening in the Fellowship Hall. People arrive around 5. Dinner will be served around 5:30. Ask that you bring a dish to share. This is open to all ages, children and adults. There'll be TVs there, and there's going to be halftime events for the children. Hope that we have a huge attendance for this, because this is a once-a-year event. Second of all, we have this coming Tuesday, Hearts and Hands Circle will be meeting in the lobby of the Morton Center Healthcare Center at 10 o'clock instead of being printed in the bulletin at the Susanna Wesley Building. They'll be meeting at the Morton Center instead. This coming Friday and Saturday is our first women's retreat that we have tried having here at Main Street. People have been planning for this for a very long time, and there are some wonderful speakers, and our main speaker is going to be Susan Leonard Ray from Greenville. We'll start this Friday at 5 o'clock, includes dinner. Saturday, February 7th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., you'll have breakfast and lunch. $20 a person, free child care, so that is quite a bargain. When have you been able to have 3 meals and child care for $20, plus wonderful speakers and programs? Sign up will be outside the Amen Corner, down the hall. Sign up, cutoff is this Wednesday at 5 o'clock, because we need to know how many to prepare for. But I urge, this is for women of all ages, and again, there is child care available. This February 13th is our sweetheart banquet, and there's no indication that Friday the 13th has anything to do with the sweetheart banquet. Figured it was better to do that than on Valentine's Day, though. This is catered by Gatewood and music by the Duotones, and it's $50 a couple. This is a beautiful banquet. Had great attendance last year, and There will be tickets being sold again in the Amen Corner this afternoon, after the service. This is sponsored by the men of Main Street and St. Mark United Methodist. Finally, it's prayer warrior time again. And Patricia Lindell is trying to save on postage, and we all know how things are at this time. We're trying to save every penny we can. The prayer warrior letters are going to be, again, in the Amen Corner. So everybody just file out here and get everything done all at one time. But if you would pick up your letter so we wouldn't have to mail it. She has them all alphabetized, can get them very quickly. So all of you who are prayer warriors, get your letter. Thank you.
Great are the works of the Lord, and greatly to be praised. God's righteousness endures forever. Together, as a congregation of believers, we believe thanks to God with whole hearts. God is graceful, gracious, and merciful, and trustworthy. At all times, God is mindful of the covenant. Before God is the beginning of wisdom. All who approach God in fear have good understanding.
Thank you. invite you to join in our invocation. God of the prophets, help us to recognize your voice among the competing claims of our day. Raise up in our midst authentic witnesses to your truth. Be present with us now to guide our prayer and praise. Let us not presume to know your message without carefully listening, or to speak your word without discerning the Spirit. Light your fires within us so we may heed your summons and give our best in your service. Bring wholeness to all that is broken, and speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I have several concerns I wish to lift up. But first, two thanksgivings. Today, we are receiving a new member, she's been here and involved in our community for quite a while, but receiving by transfer, Frances Steinecker. And she comes from High Street, UMC, in Fostoria, Ohio. We receive her today by transfer. And also a thanksgiving I want to lift up. I've already lifted up this morning. Tomorrow, February 2nd, Groundhog Day, my wife Caroline and I will have been married 30 years. It doesn't seem possible, but yes. And if we see our shadow, we'll stay married another year. Now, for some more serious concerns, we found out this morning that John Tidwell did have a heart attack this past week, but is now home. We continue to be in prayer for Miriam Aylwine, for Billy Tunstall, for Meredith Driver Edwards, who's in St. Francis Hospital recovering from surgery, and Lib Gambrell. We understand that she fell over this past week, but is okay at home. Jim Everett lost his brother, Carl Punt. Lost his grandmother on the 19th. And many of you know Ray Bowick, and some of you who don't know his name know that he has been a longtime friend of Mary Jane Thompson. Ray passed away day before last, and his service will be at Blith Funeral Home on Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we have come together here in your house for a holy time out in the journey of life. The frantic pace and the passing days come to a halt when we gather to sing your praises, to hear your word, and to uplift and comfort one another. Fill us, we pray, in our empty places. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And encourage us where we are fearful. Guide us where we are uncertain. Give us peace where we are anxious and confused. And Lord, most of all, give us the capacity to forgive those who have wronged us, and so keep us free from bitterness and anger and hate. Lord, the times are changing rapidly around us and radically. Guide us through this time of change and uncertainty. And we do pray for the leaders of our nation, state, city, and world. We pray that they be open to the influence of your Holy Spirit and for the things that make for peace. We lift up those who grieve among us, for those who grieve the loss of loved ones and the loss of their dreams, of their health, the loss of their jobs, for those who are unemployed and seeking new employment, for those who have broken budgets and broken finances. We pray healing and wholeness and resources enough to meet their needs. And Lord, we and all these things put our hope, our trust in you. We lift our prayers now in silence in our hearts before you. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's message.
Have to come over here just a little bit closer. Not too close. This is the most dangerous children's sermon I've ever done. This is it's a real live mouse trap, and it's armed and ready to go. I've made it this far. I'll see if I can set it down. Okay, there. Don't touch it. I want to talk to y'all just a minute. Do you get sick of your mother and your father and your grandmother and everybody telling you, you know, don't climb up that ladder. Don't ride your bike too fast. Don't put the cat in the microwave. You know, all these rules. Do you get tired of that sort of thing? Rules. But do you know that they really are trying to protect you? Because some things are dangerous. Some things are very, very dangerous. In the Big People sermon, I'm going to be talking about drugs and alcohol. And some of you are old enough to know that those things can be good in certain ways, but when they're out of control and misused and abused, they can hurt you. They can hurt you very, very badly. Even some of the things that y'all do, not drugs and alcohol, but like riding your bicycle and stuff. If you get out in the street, you can ride your bike, but if you get out in the street where the cars are, what could happen? You could get run over, yes. Well, you could die, get killed, and go to heaven, and that sounds bad and good, but we're not going to go there right now. You should live as long as you can and do as much good as you can here. But things that are fun, that you know how to do, that you have the freedom to do, you can ride your bike, you know how to ride your bike, but you shouldn't ride it in the middle of traffic, right? Okay. What else? You know how to climb a ladder going up on a sliding board, but if you climb a ladder going up on a house, and it's not even, and it's, you know, it's hard to keep your footing up there, and you fall off. You could break a bone. You could split your head open. You could die. Yeah. Your parents have told you all these things, right? Well, anyway, there are some things that you can do, but you shouldn't do. Okay. There's some things you can do, but you shouldn't do, because they can hurt you. Even if they look very, very appealing, they can hurt you. Now, this mouse, it's not a real mouse. He sees a little bit of peanut butter on that trap there, and he thinks it looks like a good thing. But not everything that looks good is good. Not everything you want to do, you should do. Are y'all ready? It's going to pop real loud. Are you ready? Okay. Are you ready? I don't know if this is going to hurt me. I don't really like that idea. Ready? Okay, he's going to try to get that peanut butter and... Ow! It didn't do him any good, did it? It did not... Okay. I think it's time for a prayer. I've got nothing to say to that. Okay, let's have it. Okay, y'all bow your head and I'll have the prayer and y'all can join with an amen. Lord, we do thank you for the freedom you give us and for the abilities you give us. And we thank you also for loving parents who give us boundaries to keep us safe. And remind us that some things we could do, but it's a bad idea. They're just too dangerous. Lord, help us understand that our parents, that our Sunday school teachers, our grandparents, our older friends and siblings just want to keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I'll not be preaching from the gospel today, instead from 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 13. It won't be evident in the very beginning what this has to do with our lives, but I hope at the end of the short message you will see the connection. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father from whom all things came, and for whom we live, and there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came, and through whom we live. But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that when they eat such food, they think of it as having been sacrificed to an idol. And since their conscience is weak, it is defiled. But food does not bring us near to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat and no better if we do. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against your brother in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I think we have, do we have the microphone fixed now? I'm not sure. Okay. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you may have drifted off during that scripture reading because it doesn't seem to have a lot to do with us, but I think, in fact, it does. Not all itches are worthy of being scratched. Not all desires are worthy of being acted upon. And we quickly come to harm when we see what I want as the ultimate good. Now, there's an old joke about a mother watching her overweight son or teenage son stuffing food into his mouth, and the mom says, "Timmy, if you have one more piece of pie, you will explode." Well, the son just grins and says, "Well, Mom, please pass the pie and stand back." Timmy is saying, "Forget the consequences. This tastes good, and I'm going to continue to eat as much of it as I want, no matter what. I know bad things may happen, but I don't care. I'm going to keep on eating because it tastes good and I want it." Donald Miller, in his book Blue Like Jazz, confesses that the most difficult lie he has to contend with is this. The lie is this: life is a story about me. We live in a time when an individual's desire has been raised to the highest good, and that translates to, "I'll do what I want." My sister used to substitute teach in middle school, and she said she constantly heard that mantra from children who really did not have the life experience to know what they wanted or what was wise to do. Well, from middle school to midlife crisis, and all in between, we see people acting out, "I'll do what I want," often to their own hurt and to the hurt of friends and family, when what they want is destructive, is self-centered, is wasteful, or unwise. Boundaries and consequences are learned the hard way in every generation, and you and I know we have learned them, but something within us from the story of Genesis on down fights that reality and strives to breach every boundary and
and to ignore every consequence of doing what I want. Paul said very pointedly to the Christian community in Corinth in the 6th chapter, he was saying, okay, you are forgiven people and you are beloved people, you are fellow Christians, and I'll agree with what you're saying up to a point. You have freedom in Christ. But in the 6th chapter, verse 12, he says, all things are lawful for me. I can, I could, I am free to do what I want. But then he figures a second part into it. He says, but not all things are helpful. I can do what I want, but not all things I want are helpful. And that's an understatement. Again, he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. I could do some things that just might enslave me. Let me translate that into more modern language. Paul is saying, I will not let God's love of me and my love of myself turn me into a fool, using my freedom and forgiveness as an excuse to do unwise, unhealthy, harmful things. It may be lawful and still have the consequence of destruction or addiction or distortion of my life and my relationship with others. Whatever it is, it may be technically lawful and legal, but I should notice on the way in that others before me have been hurt, enslaved, addicted, warped by the same ride that I'm in line for. It would be unwise of me to stand in that line for my own hurt. If you notice that whole passage I read, he's saying, some of you think you're pretty smart, but you cannot escape the consequences of misuse of your freedom. Not everything you want to do is helpful. And let me give some examples. Some examples that will make us squirm just a little, but I feel I must. Casual sex outside of a covenant relationship is one of those unwise behaviors filled with consequences. As a pastor over 26 years, I have seen some with lingering disease and death, unwanted pregnancy, abortion, broken family relationships, a coarsening of character, and in one case, a murder-suicide. When the intensity of the emotions after a breakup pushed a young boy beyond his breaking point. Alcohol is another. I know full well that some people can drink just a little and not very often and seem unharmed. And some cannot drink just a little and cannot drink just occasionally and they are harmed and their family with them. It is lawful, but not really helpful. It is lawful to drink, but as Paul warns, do not be enslaved by anything. Think how you use your freedom. Drugs have wonderful curative powers and can ease our pain after injury or surgery. But the truth is, without boundaried use of so many a day for so many days for a legitimate purpose, without those boundaries, the same helpful drugs become poison and can enslave us. I have not served a single church without having a member or two addicted to pain pills following a surgery or an injury. Their use in the beginning is legitimate, then they are used for fun, then they become addiction or slavery. Then doing what you want is no longer an option. Then you do what you have to do just to make it through the day. Illicit drugs are even worse, and the consequences are worse, and the warnings even sterner. But people unwisely start down that path thinking somehow what happens to everyone else will not happen to me. The ubiquitous availability of pornography on the internet has taken natural desire into harmful, dehumanizing places. Again, in the past 10 years since the internet has been so available, at least a few church members have done what they wanted in that regard until they no longer had the freedom not to. You fill in the blanks. It could be money, it could be clothes, it could be cars or antiques or shopping or credit card bills. There's so many things. But no one is truly free to do what they want. What seems like freedom is often trading one form of bondage for another. True freedom comes from giving ourselves to God. We come to understand when we give ourselves to God that our behavior matters. God opens our eyes to that. Our behavior matters not only to God, but our behavior impacts other people around us. What we do is permission giving to others who look up to us. And I remember reading a quote a few years ago from Charles Barkley, the NBA star, and he said, "I am not a role model." Well, whether he likes it or not, he's in the public eye and he is a role model. And whether any of us like it or not, there are people, some people who look up to us, our peers, our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, someone. And maybe we can handle some things that our weaker friends and family cannot. Should we limit our freedom because of their weakness? Paul says yes. Our current culture, which worships the individual, says that that's an outrageous thought to limit your freedom because of someone else. Our culture says don't dare suggest that I should limit doing what I want because of some weaker soul. But you know, the minute we give ourselves to God and begin a journey of faith, that same minute God sends us out to others. Our faith community is all about building a loving and caring community. And let me just ask it another way, the way I think Jesus would ask it. Are you your brother's keeper? Are you your sister's keeper? The answer is yes. And that is Paul's point in today's idol meet encounter. That's what he's talking about. Corinth was a pagan city. Christians were a distinct minority, and almost all of the meat that would be sold in the market had been offered first and butchered and offered to an idol. Christians know that idols are nothing, less than nothing, and so there's no harm, no real affront to God by merely buying in the market and eating some of this meat that had been offered to a big zero of an idol. Paul says, I know there's really no harm, and I'm smart enough to understand that. And that all reminds me of one of my very favorite puns. I have told it this morning, it didn't go over. I told it 2 years ago, it didn't go over. I'm giving y'all one last chance. One of my favorite puns. Did you hear about the sociologists who discovered this primitive tribe in New Guinea who worshipped the number zero? He was heard to remark, "Is nothing sacred?" Paul wrote that no one's faith, nor conscience, nor relationship with God could really be damaged by the mere eating of idol meat. But then he took a surprising turn in logic. Paul took a turn toward the love of neighbor in a way that cost him and cost others to limit their freedom for the sake of another weaker brother or sister. He said that even though eating that meat, it doesn't really matter. It does not harm me. But he said, I will not eat it if it may damage the conscience of a weaker brother or sister. A conscience of a weaker brother or sister in faith. They are on the line, maybe. They're on the fence. They're emotionally unsure. It might damage their faith, their growth in God. So even though Paul says, I know it's not going to harm me, I will stop doing it out of love for my weaker brethren. Now, this is the principle that ties it together. We can coexist, in fact, we do coexist, like it or not, with drugs, pornography, alcohol abuse, gambling, and a myriad of other addictions and behaviors all around us. It's not until that poison enters our bodies and our psyches that it could make us ill or damaged or dead, and some people seem to be immune to flirting with those things. But certain things, even if they don't seem to harm me personally, could make other folks wish they were dead. I'll give you an example of this is a practical example that actually happened to me. When I was about 11 years old, I found out, because all of us were walking in short pants through the woods, I found out that poison ivy just did not affect me. I remember very distinctly because we did it on a Saturday. Everybody else stayed home covered in calamine lotion, and I had to go to church. I didn't have any reaction to the poison ivy. And then I did a really terrible, evil thing, and I'm sorry I did this, but I was 11, and I was 11. My cousins came to visit. I took them on a hike through the same poison ivy patch. I came out without the slightest itch, and, you know, my cousins went home covered in calamine lotion. I understand that allergies can change over time, and I have not tested my immunity lately, but at least that was true back then. And that's a perfect example of the truth of what does not harm me may afflict my brother or sister horribly. And that's what Paul is talking about. When you're considering what you want to do, consider the boundary of love. Consider how what you want and how you live and what you do affects other people. Your life is not just about you. Our faith is in a man who gave himself for others. As we live, consider how your behavior affects others. Consider what the cross says about love limiting freedom. Love God, love your neighbor, Jesus said, and you do well. Do well. Amen. I ask you to join me on page 12. As we prepare for communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now hear the good news that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Now let us offer one another signs of reconciliation and love. Let us pass the peace. And I'll ask my helpers to please come forward. Ask the congregation to please turn to page 17. We're doing the musical setting for communion. Please turn to page 17. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has... your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God can make all things new. Arise, beloved, go in peace. Amen. by the left path and life of Jesus, God's mighty Spirit now is then, can make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. Let us, with the Spirit's daring, step from the past and leave behind our disappointments, guilt, and grieving, seeking new paths and sure to find. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God can make all things new. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are his new creation by water and the word. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Arise, beloved, and go in peace. Amen.
we'll conclude with our closing hymn. Blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the encouragement and the courage we have even in this moment through the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.